On the rugged island of Thisbe, November brings more than just autumn winds. It summons the Capel Ishge, mythical water horses that emerge from the sea with salt-crusted manes and bloodthirsty hearts. Each year, islanders capture these creatures for the infamous Scorpio races, where riders risk everything for glory and gold. The races have claimed countless lives, including Sean Kendrick's father, torn apart by a gray water horse when Sean was just 10 years old. Yet the island continues this deadly tradition, drawn by the intoxicating magic of creatures that smell of seaweed and speed, adorned with iron bits and holly berries to temper their savage nature. Why do they persist? As Sean simply puts it, because we love them. This paradoxical relationship, loving what might kill you, forms the beating heart of a story where courage isn't measured by fearlessness, but by what you're willing to risk for what matters most. Sean Kendrick embodies quiet intensity. Orphaned by the races, he's become Thisbe's most respected horseman despite his youth. Islanders say he has one foot on land and one foot in the sea, neither fully human nor magical. His four championships on the Water Horse Corps have earned respect but not freedom, as he still works for Benjamin Malvern, training horses with near supernatural skill. Sean's stillness masks fierce determination. His dream is simple, to own Corps and live independently in his father's house. When Malvern offers to sell him Corps if he wins this year's race, Sean's path seems clear, until he meets Puck Connolly. What makes Sean extraordinary isn't just his skill with deadly water horses, but his awakening to human connection. Initially solitary, he's drawn to Puck's stubborn courage. His promise to ride right next to you and Dove reveals a man discovering that caring for another might be worth the risk of loss. His evolution from isolated survivor to someone willing to sacrifice victory represents the story's most profound transformation. Puck Connolly has avoided the Scorpio races her entire life, unable to watch the creatures that orphaned her family. When her brother Gabe announces he's leaving for the mainland, desperation drives her to become the first woman ever to enter the races, not for glory, but to win enough money to save their home and perhaps convince Gabe to stay. Unlike Sean, Puck is stubbornly practical. She makes tourist teapots, cares for her younger brother Finn, and rides an ordinary island pony named Dove instead of a water horse. Racing her everyday mare against supernatural creatures earns her ridicule, but showcases her integrity, refusing to embrace what destroyed her family. What makes Puck remarkable is her fierce attachment to Thisbe itself. While others dream of mainland opportunities, she fights to stay. "I'm happy here," she tells Gabe, unable to comprehend why he finds suffocating what she finds essential. Her journey challenges traditions as she fights for her right to define her place despite being dismissed for being a girl. Thisbe functions as a living entity with distinct desires and moods, not merely a backdrop. This small island of 4,000 inhabitants exists in a timeless bubble apart from mainland modernity. For Puck, the island's scent of sea, island grass, hay, and horses represents the best smell in the world, while for Gabe, these same smells suffocate, reminders of limitation. The island's culture revolves around ancient traditions and superstitions. During the Scorpio Festival, Skarmuth glows with burning pitch and bonfires, while riders offer their blood to the island so maybe she won't take as much during it. Even the honey-glazed November cakes embody Thisbe's distinctive character. Thisbe shapes each person differently. For Puck, it's home and identity worth fighting for. For Gabe, a prison to escape. For Sean, both his greatest loss and deepest connection. This duality reflects the island's nature, beautiful yet dangerous, nurturing yet demanding sacrifice. It is the first day of November, and so, today, someone will die. Sean's opening line establishes the Scorpio races as a negotiation with death itself. Riders adorn their mounts with bells, ribbons, and iron charms against supernatural forces. The race represents Sean's chance to win Cor and freedom from Malvern, Puck's desperate attempt to save her home and prove women belong, and Mutt Malvern's opportunity for sabotage when skill fails him. Violence erupts immediately. Puck's thigh is sliced by what must have been a knife, not teeth, revealing how the race magnifies existing prejudices. The pivotal moment comes when Sean chooses protecting Puck from Mutt's attack over winning. The aftermath brings mixed results. Puck becomes the first woman champion, while Sean and Cor crash. Though Sean survives, Cor's broken leg means certain death. This bittersweet conclusion reminds us that courage always comes with a cost. The Scorpio Races explores the bonds shaping identity, family ties, romantic connections, and human-horse relationships. The Connolly siblings reveal their true selves through crisis. Finn's quiet anxiety, Puck's fierce determination, and Gabe's need to escape. When Gabe explains his departure, "I can't bear it anymore," Puck feels it's like learning he's dying of a strange disease I can't understand, showing how family can love deeply yet need different paths. Sean and Puck's relationship builds on mutual respect before attraction. They recognize in each other a shared determination and love for the island. Their training sessions evolve from necessity to cherished ritual. Sean's invitation for Puck to ride Cor signifies his ultimate trust, while their romance unfolds through small moments, his thumb against her racing pulse, his gift of a ribbon bracelet, her impulsive pre-race kiss. The most profound bond exists between Sean and Cor. "I know his heart better than anyone's, and he mine," Sean confesses. When injured, Cor turns away from the ocean's call to return to Sean, choosing human connection over instinct. The story concludes with profound questions about belonging through contrasting characters, Puck, who fights to stay on Thisbe, and Gabe, who must leave to survive. The novel avoids simple answers about whether roots or wings better serve our happiness. It's about wanting. On Thisbe, it's less about wanting and more about being, Puck tells Gabe. For her, Thisbe is an extension of herself, while everything she loves about it suffocates him, showing how the same environment can nurture one person while stifling another. Finding one's place involves creating meaningful connections, not just geography. When Puck negotiates with Malvern for her job and Sean's right to buy Cor, she's shaping Thisbe into a place where both can thrive. When Cor chooses Sean over the sea, he creates belonging beyond instinct. We are co-creators of our environment. Through courage and love, Sean and Puck transform Thisbe from limitation to possibility. Sometimes the bravest act isn't racing deadly water horses. It's choosing to stay and fight for the life you love, or letting go to embrace what you truly need.